Hello, this is Daryl here, sending love as always. Thank you for tuning in. I just want to say, if you like this interview, you can check our website for companion workbooks, action guides, tools, checklists, templates, and show notes with links for everything mentioned on the call. Just visit bestbusinesscoach.ca. That's best, B-E-S-T, businesscoach.ca. Enjoy. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. My name is Daryl Urbanski, your host as always. And today we are doing something a little different. As you noticed, there was no intro, and right now there is no guest here today. It's just me here on my own with an important message for you. I wanted to thank you for listening in. I get messages from people every now and then, and I am grateful this podcast has been a beacon of light for those people. It is an honor and a pleasure to be able to serve and help you. So thank you for being here with me. Thank you for listening to these interviews. Thank you for sharing with your friends who you think would benefit. I truly appreciate you. Now, the first item on my list is I want to wish you a happy holidays to you, your loved ones, and all our listeners around the globe. We've had over 240,000 downloads across 128 different countries. Wow. If you're one of the ones out of the outside, then I want to say not normal, because your country is obviously normal, but I'm from North America, and obviously I'm from a first world country. So if you're from any country outside kind of those main kind of G20 countries, thank you for listening, and I really hope this is valuable to you. And please share with your friends and family. I'm putting this stuff out there because I have a mission to help create 200 new multimillionaire business owners, and I want you and your friends and family to be successful. So 2018 is just a few days away, and I have an exercise I'd like us to do together. It's something I do every year myself, and it's to help make sure next year is one of your best years ever. Please don't just listen, but actually take the time to follow along. You're going to need a pen and paper or something you can type on, your phone or laptop or something, but you're going to want to be able to record notes. But before we start that, I have a few follow-up items and announcements. So to start, 2017 has been a jam-packed, non-stop, go year for me over here. And I hope you, in your life, you had more ups than you did downs this year. I'd like to reflect on my own year, if you don't mind listening to me talk out loud, and share with you the top 10 lessons I've learned from 2017. So this is, you know, I'm just going to go through a bulleted list and kind of rant a little bit, but I really did give a lot of thought to this, and I took a few things out and added a couple in and then changed the list around, and this is the top 10 I really think matter the most, not just for 2017, but for 2018 as well. So the first item on the list is family first, and that was a real lesson for me this year because I spent the first 6 months of 2017 taking care of three of my cousins and trying to get one of my uncles, their father, sober. It was great. It worked. We got him sober. He's fallen off but gotten back on the wagon a couple times. And generally speaking, he's been sober way more than he's been drunk this year. I had we're on the 12th month. I think he's probably been sober of these 12 months. He's probably been sober for, I'm going to say, 8.5 to 10 of them. So that's fantastic. That's a huge victory. And that's in itself is amazing. And not only that, but also this year. So that and that, just to be like, I'm going to be upfront with people you hear, and I want to share with you. Like, it wasn't an easy thing to do. You know, like, overall, that offering to help my cousins and help out my family cost me like $40,000+. That came out of my savings. But you know, I would be a street kid if I hadn't been adopted and had someone agree to pay my bills and feed me and put a roof over my head because drugs and alcohol destroyed my biological family, which I found out last year when I met my mom for the first time ever. So I felt it after, and I literally just discovered that when my cousins asked for help. I came back to Toronto after having flown to meet my biological family and discovering that being part of the affiliate with the Triad Gang, like hard drugs, alcohol, like destroyed a family of 8 siblings. And then right after I fly back to Toronto after that visit, my cousin, who I left my car at his parents, him, his, and my cousins and parents at their parents' house, picks me up from the airport and pulls over on the way back to say, hey, we need some help. Dad's, it's just worse than anyone would admit. It's, you know, beyond, you know, it's just, it's bad. And you know, his pancreas has failed, his liver has failed, He's suddenly now diabetic, but you know, we've stopped the drinking and we've got him into a better lifestyle. And I met my cousins this holiday, this Christmas. I went back to Canada. I'm in the Philippines now, and we had dinner. And you know, I won't lie. Like I've had second guesses. I mean, I did it, but I spent a ton of money. You know, I interrupted my own life. I wasn't even in the country at the time. I like relocated to do it. And that was something that I've had like back and forth thoughts about, you know, was that worthwhile for me to do? Was that, I mean, you know, their extended family, I don't know. But when I met them for dinner this Christmas, my three cousins, I left that dinner, I want to say without a doubt, but I left that dinner like so proud of them and who they have become in such a short period of time. All three of them have made massive changes in personality and character, in life goals and ambitions. I feel like their lives are on a completely different trajectory, like as before and after. And they're all smart kids. It's not like I made them any better. I just expanded their minds and I helped them. And I gave them an opportunity and I treated them like adults, you know, and I treated them maybe in a way they'd never been treated before. And introduce them perhaps to some people that may have guided them. And so I'm just extremely grateful that I was able to do that for them. And that's one example of why family needs to come first. Because I think it's really hard to put family first and ever really regret it. You may have people in your family that take advantage of you, that are, you know, you have to protect yourself. But if they're, you know, if they're genuine people, if you're not subject to their abuse, helping them out, I think, can be one of the most rewarding things possible. My parents as well retired this year, and I also helped them out. It's not my place to share so many personal details for other people. Myself, I don't mind, but I helped them out, and I just spent Christmas with them. And I mean, I just feel like they're in a great spot, you know? Like, it's the same thing. If I hadn't stepped in to help, I worry about where they might be, and not only that, but they've moved and they're taking care of my grandma, who just turned 94, and it's that whole like ripple effect, you know, like people paying it forward. If I hadn't helped them out so they could do what they can do now, they may not be taking care of my grandmother. And they and a lot of other family have agreed that if my grandmother wasn't being watched so closely by relatives, not just some stranger that's getting paid money, she may not be as good as she's doing right now. So family is so important. It's so important. Whoever that is, you know, I was an orphan. I was adopted. And so for me, family is a definition. Like my adopted family, they're definitely my family. And if you're not adopted, you may not understand that. And I don't want to ramble on and on too much about that. But whoever you define as your family, you really need to be ride or die for them. I think that's really important. It's the sort of thing that you have to be trustworthy before you can, because you have to be worth trust before, you know what I mean? You can trust other people. It's that sort of thing. Because if you come to the table and people just sense shadiness about you right off the bat, right? It's like a relationship that's set up for failure. So that's number one, is family first. I think that's really, really important. I've been stressed out about some of the decisions I made because of, you know, life, financial, mental, spiritual, whatever sacrifices or donations or investments, whatever you want to call it, I had to make. But having come back to the Philippines, my home here in Palawan, I feel like that was probably one of the best things I could have done this year. And even in my birthday this year, it was the proudest moment of my entire life for my birthday. I didn't get a lot of gifts or anything. I did get probably one of the best gifts I've ever gotten. But I was so proud because the family all came by to visit. We had cake and stuff. But I just felt so proud that I was able to step in and help my family like that. You know, in an expensive city like Toronto, to rent a 4-bedroom, 4-bath house, to be able to take on 3 teenagers, as a single guy of my own, you know, and provide for them and be there and support the family and handle it. It was just a great spot, so. The next one is pay yourself first. This is number two, pay yourself first. I couldn't have done the things that I did if when I started making more money, I expanded my lifestyle. Life is really simple and material things are not going to make you happy. Experiences will. Freedom, access to things will. But it won't make you happier. It just won't. You know, it'll make you happier up to a point. I think Maclean's magazine in Canada did a survey or did some research one year, and they said that more money will make you happier up until maybe about $100,000 a year. And that's an arbitrary number, but the idea is that it makes you happy up until a point when you have the boat, if that's what you want, or you have a canoe and you can go skiing on the weekend. Like when you can do the things you want to do, right? When you're not inhibited, when you are, you know what I mean? Like when you can afford your medication, when you can afford to go away on that cruise one week a year or whatever, you know what I mean? Like money stops making you happier. More money won't make you happier. And I can attest to this. I remember when I was I remember when I was working in Japan, I had this job. I was working with Shinsei Bank and I was making something like $60 an hour. But at some point, like the money just didn't matter. You know what I mean? Like life was just about so much more than money, which is number three. Life is about more than money and work. And I'm going to kind of play between these two about paying yourself first. So the first part of paying yourself first is never spend more than 70% of what you make. Just don't. If you want to save money, pull it out of that 70% you're living on. Just make it happen. Make it happen. You might be like, oh, there's no way I could do that now. I'm telling you right now, if something happened and you were forced to take a pay cut, you would find a way to live on less. You just would, you know? You just need to just cut it back because you never know when you're going to need it. And you have to be building that savings. It's the only thing that I can say is it's the gap between what you make and what you spend, that part that you keep, that is just so important. And if you are living paycheck to paycheck right now, you need to pay attention to this. You need to live on 50% of what you make or less. You need to squeeze yourself now when it's a choice so you're not forced to squeeze yourself later. And that is real. You need to voluntarily have the discipline, like how Muslims fast during Ramadan, to limit yourself now so you can get 6 months to a year where the savings saved up, because all of a sudden you work issues, boss treating you bad, health problem, family needs some help. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden you've got power and freedom and options and choice. And until you get there, it needs to become a priority. But life is more about more than money and work. And so number three is I'm going to encourage you to join me in what's one of my weekly routines. And that is every Monday I sit down for 15 minutes. And I have a spreadsheet in Google Docs. And I've got, I don't know how many categories these are, but I have these topics. And at these 15 minutes, I just think about the topic and I just write about my thoughts. And after I finish writing my thoughts, I read my thoughts and I pull out any to-do items or action items, you know. So the categories are career, finances, family, friends, business relationships, health, dreams, goals, problems, charitable projects, and happiness. I'll say that one more time. Career, finances, family, friends, business relationships, health, dreams, and goals, problems, charitable endeavors, and happiness. So I'll go through that, and for example, let's just say friends. I'll get to the friends, and I'm like, oh, you know, I've been so busy this week, I haven't really done anything with friends. So I'll put down, you know, contact so-and-so, you know, and that becomes a to-do item for me during the week. Or maybe I put down, you know, friends. Oh, I had a great time this week, and I went and did this with so-and-so and so-and-so. Okay, nothing to do on that one. Next. And then I go on to business relationships. Oh, well, you know, I haven't really been networking lately. I haven't done, you know, oh, geez, maybe I should. Maybe I should reach out to some of my mentors. Maybe I should reach out to some of my VIPs, you know. And so that's a really powerful exercise because it's just the habit, the routine. This is something I did with my cousins, by the way. It was a requirement. If I'm going to pay their rent, their bills, their grocery, all that, one of many things they had to do was they had to do this every week because I wanted getting them thinking about their life as a whole. I call it my life by design time. It's my time to design my life, to sit down and go, okay, what are my dreams and goals? Have they changed? Are they the same thing? Am I just rewriting the same thing last? Okay, cool, that's fine. Has it changed? If I'm writing the same thing, that's fine. I'll flesh it out in more detail. I mean, geez, they say visualize your goals. Let me detail this out as vividly as I can. Health. How's my health? Oh, you know, this has been bothering me. Maybe I should take a look at it. You know, oh, maybe I should get my teeth checked. Maybe I should do this, you know, and then it becomes a to-do item. So First was family first. Second was pay yourself first. Third was life is about more than money and work. But number four is work is important for your health. So I know I just said that there's more to life than working, but work is important for your health. And a couple of examples. First one is Okinawa is known for having some of the oldest people, people who live the longest in the world. And the Japanese, and especially in Okinawa, they believe in this concept called ikigai. And an ikigai stands for a reason for living. And so it's more than just a career. It's who you are. It's what you're about. It's what your goal is. What are you trying to accomplish in this world? And that, hold on, I should have done a, okay. Just wanted to check and make sure it was my mic, not my speaker. Anyways. Having that purpose in your life is so powerful. So many people, and I've even gotten upset with my dad about this, because he's retired and now his purpose is, okay, he's taking care of his mom and he's got some other things he's doing. Okay, he's kind of done doing the office and, you know, showing up for work thing for a while. That's fine. But I wanted to make sure that he still had a reason to get up in the morning, because otherwise there's just people that are just kind of hanging out waiting to die. And that's a terrible place to be. If you have nothing, no reason to get up in the morning. I mean, there's a ton of research, like things, and they're starting to connect it with more activity. People that own dogs live longer than people that don't. You know, and there's all these things, and a lot of it comes down to activity, having a reason to get up. My neighbor, my parents' neighbor, who was diagnosed with leukemia and told he had 6 months to live, lived 7 years and a day past that diagnosis. One of the first things that happened as soon as he got diagnosed is his five kids, who all have kids of their own, they got him super involved in his grandchildren's lives. Showing up for all the soccer games and event stuff. I know you're sick with chemo, but guess what? You know, so-and-so's got a soccer game. We're going to go cheer for them. They kept him active. They kept him out there. They kept him engaged and socialized. And that activity, it's so important. That's why 10,000 steps is such a big goal. Activity is so important. Use it or lose it. You know, in CrossFit, it's work capacity across broad time and modal domains. Work capacity. I am capable. I have the capacity to walk 20,000 steps a day. You know, that's across broad time and modal. So broad time, short, medium, long distance, and modal. Walk, run, swim, climb, throw, punt, you know. And that's your health. If you were to plot those on a chart, the modes, walk, run, swim, lift, throw, you know, carry, if those modes were put on one axis and then short, medium, long was put on a second axis and you had your data points on that, but you expanded that out over time, that volume of space would represent your health. Because if your health decreases, if suddenly you are unable to move like you could before, you have decreased mobility, you have decreased energy, it is an indicator your health is declining. So the goal is to be and stay as active as possible, literally. So there's already all sorts of research, if you look out there, saying for every hour you spend sitting doing nothing, you're cutting months off your life. So work is important for your health because it keeps you engaged with other people. It gives you a reason to wake up in the morning and to get up and walk around and do something. And that comes to number five. Don't isolate yourself. Get out and get out often. Socialize. All the good things from my life were good because what I had or did or was trying to do was made better by sharing it with others. I got help I didn't ask for. I got invited to speak at a mastermind meeting. I got a paid trip to Singapore and Indonesia to speak and to go to like an all-paid resort, Club Med, for a week because I socialized and I engaged with others, and someone needed me, someone like me, and they said, Daryl, why don't you come along? I made friends who were able to help me out when I didn't expect it. I got introduced to people who became high-ticket clients. We are social creatures. Isolation is a sign of sickness, weakness, and death. People isolate themselves. It's like a cat that goes off on its own to die somewhere. Socialize, get out. In today's day and age, when we're all plugged in on our phones and we can all work remotely from home, it's really important you get out and socialize with other people. Talk, laugh, don't be so serious. That last one's probably more for myself. So family first, pay yourself first. Life is about more than money and work. Work is important for your health. Don't isolate yourself. Number six is avoid drugs and alcohol. You don't need them. I just talked about before. I've witnessed it firsthand a few times over. It's destroyed a part of my family, my biological family. It's destroyed a part of my adopted family. There are parts of my life, you know, I've never been a drinker, but you know, growing up, pot was kind of the thing where I grew up. And that's not like a lot of people are like, whatever, but it's a sedative. And so sure, it's not crack and heroin. And of all the things, especially after having met my biological mom and seeing what drugs like cocaine, heroin, crack, and alcohol can do to people in a family. Sure. If I had to pick out of the list, it's probably one of the better ones to be involved with. But at the same time, I've had phases in my life. I mean, I'm in the Philippines, I think they kill people over drugs here. So, I don't drink, I don't smoke nothing here. But in my life, I can recount like half days or even weeks that I might have missed out because I was on a binge. Do you know what I mean? Or going through something. And I mean, when I first met my mom, this is even just last year, I was in a Toastmaster meeting and we went to this. I was, and maybe I have a reason, but I don't think it was a healthy way to cope. And I was smoking pot 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I went to this Toastmasters conference. I was using a vaporizer in, this is so hilarious. I'm sorry, maybe I shouldn't confess this, but whatever. It just is what it is. I'm at this conference. I'm in the audience. There's a speaker on stage. There's maybe 100 people in the room. And I'm vaping from my chair in this audience. There's no filter. Everybody can smell what I'm doing. And I'm like putting my hand up and getting the mic and I'm standing up and I'm blowing out smoke while I'm asking the guy on stage. It was hilarious. But, you know, it probably burnt some bridges with people. I can't say probably. It did burn some bridges with people, you know. Now, at the time, I really couldn't care less. It was a Toastmasters group. It was just something I did to practice speaking on, you know, speaking and to get out and socialize. It was one of many events I do in a week. But I, you know, went on this trip and I was supposed to be a ride for people and that made them uncomfortable. And that was, again, I just met my mom and I was about to go meet her after that. So I was just, I don't even know what I was going through, but that's not a healthy way to deal with it at all. That's not the best way to do it. And so that's even actually part of why I live in the Philippines, to be really honest. It's not the only reason by far. But it's a big reason why I come here because it's in Canada, it's about to be legalized. And it's so funny because I'm like my whole life, I mean, I'm 34 now, you know, my whole life I've kind of been a bit of a pothead on and off. Just depends. I just didn't like drinking. Sorry if I lose any listeners over that, but whatever. I just didn't like to get drunk and get rowdy and I don't know. I worked as security when I was 19 at a bunch of nightclubs. And I just, you know, there's 500 people in the club and you're dealing with the 10, 5, 10, 15, 20 people that are having like the worst night out of everyone there. And so I just don't drink or anything. But, you know, it's out of all these years now it's becoming legal in Canada. And I just don't want the temptation. I just don't want to be around it. And, you know, because it's just, you don't need it. You really don't need it. And it's so funny because I meet people who are like Mormon or Christian or Muslim and they're really devout and they don't drink and they don't do anything like drugs. And I feel like when I compare them with my other friends that drink and stuff, they are so much better at their craft simply by hours invested because they're not doing that other stuff. So you don't need it. Avoid drugs and alcohol, you know, and if you can't, if you're doing it, just try to cut back. It's really not doing a benefit to you. Maslow, I think, did. That is in his hierarchy of needs. Like, I know even animals seek it out. But it's an addiction. It's like the sugar that they put in our. And it's in everything. It's an addiction. It's addictive. So even for just. Anyways, I'm going to stop there. But avoid drugs and alcohol. Sure, you might make some deals over a couple of drinks. Sure, you might, you know, that might be your way in networking and stuff. Okay. But I don't know, man. You can still be at those places. You don't need 5, 7, 10 drinks. You can have one or two. You know what I mean? And go home. I mean, that's the one thing I did love about when I was a bouncer, because I was 19. And at the end of the night, the girls would be drunk and silly, and I would still be sober and charming. You know? And so that was, I'm just saying, you could do that. That might work out to your benefit in a networking scenario. So think about it. That's number 6. Number 7 on this list is live each day as if it would repeat itself 1,000 times over. I am a huge advocate for this. If you've been a listener to my show for any period of time, you know I feel that way. If you had to live the same day over and over, like it was Groundhog Day, like every day you woke up and you were just stuck in a loop of time, live that day. Live that day. What would your perfect day have to be like? Because you're going to spend more hours at work and more hours doing anything else than you can, and structure your life, design it. Some things in your life might be slow to change or move, but if you don't focus, if you don't think about it, they're never going to. And you need to move your life towards where you could wake up and live it every day. And if that means you work a 6-hour day instead of a 10-hour day, then work a 6-hour day and get some more help. Find some interns. There's a ton of people out there that are willing to work for free for experience if you're willing to train them. There's a ton of people out there that are looking for jobs if you got one. There's a ton of software and tools out there and things you can do to help automate and leverage your time and money and energy, you know. I mean, most people think that they have to work harder to make more money, and I will admit that I'm as guilty as anybody else of this sort of thinking, but honestly, it's not the way to do it. Help more people. You know what I mean? It's like if you have a party in your house and there's only you and four people and you want the party to be more alive, it can be really tough for you to keep the party amped just by going crazy yourself. Like, ah! Like, you can lift the energy a little bit, sure. Oh, I'm going to cough. But it would be easier to get more people to the party. And that might help bring the energy up. Music, of course, there's all these things, but hopefully that, I don't know if that analogy worked. Many hands make for light work. The sum of the parts is greater than any one of them. And that's where it really matters. You have to start thinking of teams of income, multiple teams of income. No one who got rich did it on their own. No one who has a successful business did it exclusively on their own. Okay? You need others. You need mentors. You need peers. You need help. If you're a solopreneur, you have to start building a list of things. You need to join my program, any of my programs. That's a shameless plug. But the reason why I say that is because you need to learn how to take your day-to-day activity that's paying your bills and figure out how do you make that into a business where you don't need to do everything in the business yourself. You know, that's actually, I just onboarded a big major client, and that's one of the main reasons why they wanted to work with me is because they're trying to build basically an agency. Their goal is to buy, grow, and sell businesses. And they didn't want just one extraordinary person. They need to put a whole team and department together. And, you know, it might be long days in some instances, but you know what I mean? It's not about one person who can do a Herculean feat of strength and effort and work 20 hours a day and kill it and survive on 2 hours sleep. I did that, man. I did that for 3 years. I was in bed for less than 6 hours. So now I track my sleep with a Fitbit. And if I want 6 hours of sleep, I have to be in bed 7 hours. If I want 7 hours of sleep, I have to be in bed eight and a half hours. If I want 8 hours of sleep, I have to be in bed almost 10 hours. It's just the way, because you wake up a bunch of times, go to the bathroom, blah, 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 blah. So before I had a Fitbit, I was tracking with a different app, and my alarm, like the time between when I set the alarm and put my phone down and when the alarm went off and I woke up was like 6 hours. That was my average for over 500 recorded nights of sleep. And I didn't use it every night either, but that's my lifestyle. I did that. I don't do that anymore. Now I am very adamant I get at least 6.5 hours of sleep, not in bed, but of actual sleep, because you need it. You just can't function. So important. So live each day as if it would repeat itself 1,000 times over. Make time for the things that matter. 8, in 5,000 years, none of this will matter. So stop taking it all so seriously. You know, did you die? No? Oh, okay, then it's probably not that big of a deal. That thing you're stressing out over, the thing you're worried about, did you die? No? Okay, well then you're cool. Just calm down a little bit. You know, play life like a game. Watch out, because there are, you know, sharp edges, but keep moving forward, because in 5,000 years it won't matter. Number 9 is love what you do and master your craft. So I had a talk with a gentleman. He's about to be evicted. And he asked me for some advice. And I know him a little bit. And I said, man, you bounce around a lot. Stop bouncing around. Every time I feel like I see you getting traction with one thing, you're onto something new. Like, focus. Just commit. I mean, this goes back to live each day as if it would repeat itself 1,000 times over. Like, just do what you love to do. You know what I mean? So I moved to the Philippines in August this year, beginning of August. I was with my cousins up until then. In June, I got rid of all my clients, knowing that I was going to be leaving soon, and I was going to be in 12 hours ahead. I just didn't want to have any commitments that I may have to wake up early in the morning for. And I've tried to sell a program, And we launched it with two posts on Facebook in February this year. And I was only looking for 12 people. In fact, I would have launched it even with 3, 5, 6. It didn't really matter. But I posted for 12 people. And there was like 50 people that showed interest to the post. And in a week, just with some chatting over Facebook, I had 15 sales. $500 up front. And it was effortless. There was a hungry, hungry market for what I had offered. So I let all my clients go. I figured, oh, you know, selling this program will be a piece of cake. Look how much demand there was. Let all my clients go. And it just hasn't been, that program hasn't been selling well the way we've tried to sell it afterwards. The program is fantastic. I mean, the content is amazing. Honestly, it's a lot of it. I'm gonna run through it for a couple of the clients that I'm working with now, because I've got clients that this time zone works for them. But I, you know, it's funny because when these clients first wanted to work with me, one of them has a business that's doing $10 million. And, you know, and I was feeling insecure just because it's like, yeah, I've done these things in the past and I know all these great people. But man, this year, it just, you know, and there's been upsets, and August was a bit of a write-off because when I first came to this island in the Philippines, I didn't have internet. And so I had to move around a couple times. So I lost a month there. But I was just like pissed off because I feel like with client work and other people's businesses, I just feel like my success rate is really high in making things work. But when it's my own stuff, it just seems to be such a struggle. And I was kind of like, you know, I felt like the things I'd done hadn't worked so well recently. And I was on the flight back here to the Philippines. And it was just like because it's a 13-hour, 14-hour flight. Then you to Korea, you change planes, it's 4 hours later, 6, 10 hours later, and then another 4-hour flight. It's just time to think about a lot of stuff. And I was, you know, like, why am I fit to help out with this $10 million business? And then I realized, I know why I'm fit, because I love this stuff. Because I eat, breathe, sleep, and do this stuff. I've been doing this stuff even when I was doing it for free. I mean, that's how I got good at it. I just love doing it. I love marketing. I love sales. I love looking at businesses as a model, as a whole. I like taking them apart piece by piece. It's almost like a kid that loves to play with engines. You know, like I love playing with the machinery. I love taking the pieces apart. I love figuring out where the bottleneck is. And I think that's why I do better work with clients, because it allows me to be more playful. But when it's my own thing, you know, personality, or not person, but your personal concerns, you know, your ego, all these things get into the way. So, love what you do and master your craft. Focus. Follow one course until successful. You know, if you love what you do, Alan Watts has this great saying where he said, you know, we have a messed up society because we live in a world where people, you know, spend their whole lives doing jobs that they hate, hoping to one day make enough money that they could finally do what they love. But why not just do what you love and not worry about the money? I mean, if you're the world's greatest at something, I mean, people are making extraordinary amounts of money at things you wouldn't believe. I mean, I met a lady doing something like $400,000 teaching women how to do eyelashes. You know, one of our guests, Jermaine Griggs, he's got almost an 8-figure business, and he's a piano teacher. You know, I love and respect that guy so much, so in no way am I trying to demean it, but it's not at all. But I mean, you know, like, he's a piano teacher. There's people that are making obscene amounts of money in the most obscure industries. You know, there's people that make money playing basketball, playing baseball. Like, you just, if you love what you do and you just do it because you love it, you'll get good enough that you'll eventually fit into, that's literally what happened to me, you know, where I just loved the stuff and I did it, and I ate all the books and I ate all the courses and I listened, I drank all the audios I could find, you know, and I just started helping people out and getting success. And the first client was, my first business coaching client was Corey. You might have heard me talk about him before. I was helping him out and he got promoted from being a sales rep to being CEO of a company that was doing like 1 point something million, 1.3 million, 1.8 million. And, you know, and at the time, he was like, Daryl, I've never been a CEO before. I can't do this without you. I'm putting you on retainer. I'm going to pay you $2,500 a month. You know, I need you just, I just need you to be there for conference calls. You don't have to move cities or anything. And that was the very first one. And that came because I just was good at what I did because I loved it. So love what you do and master your craft. Focus. Follow one course until successful. And number 10 is love yourself unconditionally. Life is really short. if you have any qualms, if you have any disputes or beefs with yourself, you just need to learn to love and accept yourself. And that's kind of cliche to say, but in practice, I think it's really important. You have to love your flaws. You just have to learn to accept and love yourself and accept that you're human and that we're all human. And this list of 10 things, family first, pay yourself first. Life is about more than money and work. Work is important for your health. Don't isolate yourself. Avoid drugs and alcohol. Live each day as if it would repeat itself. In 5,000 years, none of this will matter. Love what you do and master your craft. You know, you just have to admit and accept as a human, you make mistakes. You're blind to certain things. Your brain has flaws. You just need to accept yourself and just do the best you can to patch any bridges you burn, to admit your faults, to admit your mistakes, to accept your judgments of other people are probably things that you judge yourself for. And you can just get so caught up. Recently, I've actually just heard a couple of interviews recently, read, because there were articles on people, that had interviewed these people that a lot of people might envy. And it's so funny because these people have all the symbols and signs of success. In fact, one of these people I know, you know. I don't know where in the world you are, but I know you know this person. But they're not happy. They're not happy with themselves. They're not happy with what they've accomplished. And you have to love yourself before you can kind of be happy. Like, you just have to love, like, man, you know, I've been really lazy and I didn't accomplish what I just... I didn't accomplish what I should have, or I was lazy here, or, you know, and you just have to accept it and just commit to being better. You have to commit to improve and just move forward. So that's the list of 10 things, the top 10 lessons from 2017, from my life, and things that I picked up going through and interviewing all these amazing people this year. I mean, we've had so many phenomenal experts on the show. And I mean, like I said, there are a lot of other things I wanted to add to this list, but generally speaking, I think this is a fantastic start. If you enjoyed this, if you benefited, please tell a friend. This list, it might help them in more ways than they'll ever know, plus the exercise we're going to do in a moment. In 3 years of doing this podcast, we've run like clockwork. I think we only ever miss maybe 2 weeks. I mean, since this is a weekly show, if you didn't know. But this past August, two things happened. So I moved to the Philippines, and I lost a couple of audio engineers that we've had. And now I've still been doing interviews, but since November 5th, what you're listening to right now is the first new release in over a month. And it's not edited. It's just me uploading a raw recorded audio file with the coughs and me hitting mute in between. And of course, I have plenty of excuses, really all champagne problems. I mean, I've been traveling to exotic beaches. I had a paid week-long trip, I mentioned, to Singapore and Indonesia to speak to a mastermind group. Onboarding a couple new clients, like I said, one with a software service doing over $10 million a year. But, you know, please forgive me for not having fresh interviews edited and ready for you to download. My mission isn't changing. I still want to be responsible for helping create 200 new multimillionaire business owners. And it's not about the money. It's about businesses solve problems for people. And I want to have an exponential impact on this world. And I'll never get to meet the people whose lives I help impact, but that's okay. I want to be a force for good. And that will change in 2018, the missing episodes that we've had, the missing weeks. We haven't released anything. Maybe not in January right away, but by February for sure. I've already got at least 5 or 6 interviews ready and recorded. I just need to bring a new audio editor on board, which is, you know, one of many things on my to-do list. So, but I'm bringing this up because I want to point something out. Because although there's no new interviews being released for the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks maybe, I've been looking through the list of interviews for the show, and we've released 158 episodes total. As I said at the beginning, we've been downloaded over 240,000 times. Each of these recordings is, you know, 30, 40, most of them are over 45 minutes, under an hour and 10 minutes, we'll say. So that's like 240,000 hours of audio. And some of the experts that we've had on the show are doing hundreds of millions per month. So I'm telling you this because there's literally gold in the interviews you have access to here for free. And I know you may think I'm biased, but I've interviewed men and women of all ages, from all backgrounds, with all different levels of support, who have successfully done 6, 7, 8, 9 figures, and even $1 billion in sales. We have I think we might even have five or six guests that have done over a billion, that's a B, B-I-L-L-I-O-N, $1 billion in sales. And I've invited specific people I wanted to talk to because I know what they've done. And I bring them here on the show and I ask them the million-dollar questions. I ask them to tell us and break it down. I know people who charge thousands of dollars for courses and programs for things they give away on this show for free. So it doesn't matter if you've listened to me for a while or this is your first episode, you are leaving money on the table and missing out on priceless information if you miss even a single interview. And part of my commitment to helping you is in 2018, we're going to pull some of those nuggets out into smaller segments so you don't have to chew through an entire 1 hour recording to find them. So in 2018, you can expect new fresh interviews back every week and of course some shorter snippets of juicy gems edited out and made available to you. So up next, I've still got our 2018 exercise for us to do together. Please stay tuned for that. It's a life-changing exercise. I know people that have gotten married from the results. It takes 15 minutes, and I know people have maybe got married because of it. I know people that have relocated. It's been life-changing for me. So stay tuned for that. And I'm also, but first I'm going to answer a question that came in from one of our listeners, Adrian. I said Adrian, but I think that was autocorrect. Aaron. It was Aaron. Aaron had a question. So if you didn't know, you can email us at support@bestbusinesscoach.ca. You can also add me on social media with Daryl Urbanski, D-A-R-Y-L, Urbanski, U-R-B-A-N-S-K-I. Or you can use Skills for Success, S-K-I-L-L-S-F-O-R-S-U-C-C-E-S-S, all one word, Instagram. I mean, you pick a channel. It's probably my ID for that. If you can't find me by my name, and send me a message there. You can also call in. The number is 1-888-844-GROW. That's 1-888-844-4769. And leave me a voicemail. Whether you have a question, comment, you just want to say you love the show, you want to share how it's helped you, benefited, I love hearing from you. So, all right, Adrian wrote in and he said, "Hi, Daryl. I listen to your podcast on a regular basis and I'm hoping you can offer some advice. I recently started offering AdWords pay-per-click services, but need some help getting clients at $2,500 per month and up. I have been sending cold email campaigns asking prospects to fill out a survey about their business. I have not gotten any responses and need clients ASAP. Can you please offer any advice on getting new clients quickly? Thank you, Aaron." So Aaron, first apologize for saying Adrian. I really think it was the spell checker. But Aaron, my advice to you is this, and the reason why I'm including this is I think that this is really applicable to everybody here on the call. And so my advice to you is this: go to events, network with people, go to business meetup groups, test, tweak, and optimize your offer. What is your offer? Like, your offer right now is take my survey. But let me finish. I'll get back to that. So what is your offer? Let me give you some examples first. So fresh hot pizza in 30 minutes or it's free, Domino's. 15 minutes can save you 15% on car insurance, Geico. These are examples of killer offers that have built gargantuan size businesses. You, my friend, need an amazing offer. You know, something like, give me 2 months and I'll grow your business by at least 10% or I'll give you a full refund. You know, can you do that? Don't make promises you can't keep. Another option is to offer to do it for someone for free, but they have to split any profits with you. You know, talk to people. That's what you got to do right now. You got to talk to a lot of people and have an offer ready. I mean, people want to talk about opt-in lists and audience building and all sorts of flashy, techie things you can do, many of which are everything but asking for the sale from someone. Except that is where the rubber meets the road. You want to spend 12 months doing SEO to grow your business, but aren't really sure if where you're sending people will convert them to buying customers? Well, my friend, you're dodging the real work. You're being busy, not productive. You think you need to update your brand? You think a new logo and colors will increase your sales? My friend, you're dodging the real work. Think you want to build an audience, nurture them, and ask for the sale later so you don't come across as sleazy? You're dodging the real bullet. Now, I agree all these activities are good things and they can all help grow your business, but only if you have an offer that sells, only if you have something people actually want and a sales process for turning curious people into paying customers. So you have to learn how to sell. Okay, Aaron, you're offering a $2,500 product. How easily would you part with $2,500 for something? You know, surveys are good when you're just getting started, but what you're asking is the number one fundamental killer of many businesses, and that's, where are your customers? You're emailing a cold list. Get on the phone and talk to some people. You can't get an answer. If you can't get anyone to answer your survey, it's either the wrong list or the wrong questions or the wrong survey. And if any of this was easier, more people would be successful business owners. So if you need money ASAP, then you best start hitting up meetings. Toastmasters, BNI, which stands for Business Network International, or Networking International. Chamber of Commerce, call conference centers and pick up their event schedules. Keep your conversations focused on your goal. If you get off topic, bring it back around. Call all the leads you've ever had for this product or service. Call all of them. Stop learning, stop reading, and stop taking courses. Listen to this podcast because it's audio and you can do it when your hands are busy but your mind is idle. But the goal is to talk to 100 prospects in the next 30 days or less and hammer down a really, really, really great offer. If I could offer a blank that would help you blank, would you be willing to pay for it? How much would you be willing to pay for it? I mean, just come out and ask people. The reason why you're not doing well is because you're emailing people that you probably don't have a relationship with, and you're trying to get them to fill out a survey that they probably don't care about. And this comes back to the problem that I was having with the program that I was trying to sell. So one of the things that I did is I got 4 people to start hitting the phones so we could start talking to people and talk to those 100 people to go, hey, why hasn't this been working? When we first presented this, it was like we had to beat people away with a stick. People were throwing 500 US at me. I mean, it was just some, hey, this is what we're doing. Like 2 Facebook posts, Monday, Friday. You know what I mean? And over $6,000, over $7,000 US in 1 week, just with some little Facebook chatting. Like, I don't even think I probably didn't even spend an hour selling 15 people, and this was me chatting with them at the time. It was a beta test, was their interest. But since then, it hasn't been that. So what's wrong with this? So I've been really busy and I've got other clients now that I'm dealing with and such. So I've got 4 people to hit the phones. I made it, incentivized it for them. And I have them talking to people. So your problem is you're not talking to anyone. If a tree falls in the woods and no one is there to hear it fall, does it make a sound? Well, if you have the world's greatest business and nobody knows you exist, you know, you're talking about your survey and not your offer, are you going to make any sales? So you have to get out there and start talking to people. All this online stuff, it's all just a regression from that face-to-face, kneecap-to-kneecap, belly-to-belly conversation. You know, a sales page will only convert if you close 5 out of 10 people in person. Your sales letter is going to close maybe less than 1%. You do a webinar, you'll close maybe 5%. Do you know what I mean? And 5 out of 10 is 50%, for those of you that didn't realize that. If you're closing 5 out of 10 people you talk to in person, your webinar will maybe close 5%. Maybe 10%. You know, if you're really good and the list is really targeted, maybe 20%. You just don't hear. I mean, you hear of other people doing higher, and it's possible, but it has to be really targeted. Generally speaking, anything that goes to scale won't do as well. So get on the phone and talk to people. Go to the events. Meet them face-to-face and talk to them. Do that, and then you can do your own AdWords work for yourself. Generate leads, because you'll know what people want because you talk to them. This is the problem that I had, where I spent probably 2-3 months pushing people to websites and trying to update it and I got people to answer my survey. You know, going through and answering that and going back. Just get on the phone and talk to people. It takes no time at all, and it's so much more enlightening. So, all right. Now let's get to this exercise. I actually only thought this would be like a 20-minute audio, but all I do is talk. So it's actually perfect. So this exercise takes about 15 minutes to do if you do it sincerely. It is life-changing. I actually want to do it myself. That's why I'm making this recording. And typically, you want to have a couple minutes for each. You want to give yourself a deadline, because you don't want to take a half hour, hour, because you're going to kind of think about this over the next week or two. But really, just to get it done, give yourself 15 minutes and get it done, okay? But because it's an audio, I'm not going to wait for 2 minutes. I'm going to expect you to pause it, do it, come back, all right? So what we're going to do is get your pen and paper out, or if you're using your phone and your hands are free, or you're not driving, and even if you are driving, I would use talk to text on your phone. Just get this stuff down. We're going to do some lists, and this is an amazingly important exercise, okay? It's probably, if there's anything I could do to help you have an amazing year without getting you into one of my programs or getting you to become a client, this would be it, hands down. It's a life-changing exercise, literally. So first thing I want you to do is I want you to make a list, and that's your bucket list. Okay, I know it sounds cliche, but just bear with me here. This exercise evolves, okay? So what's the bucket list? And these are specific events that you want to have happen in your life. Write down your bucket list. I want to climb Mount Fuji, which I did, by the way. I want to, you know, walk on the moon. I want to make $1 million. I want to have a threesome with pretty women. I want whatever it is, naughty, nice. It's your goal, your life. What do you want? What is that bucket list? What does it look like for you? Make that list. Make that list. Pause the audio. Give yourself maybe 2 minutes. If you need an extra minute, go ahead and take 3 minutes. But just brain dump down all the things you want to do, the bucket list. I want to go to Indonesia. I want to whatever, right? Do that now. Pause the audio. Now that you've had that done, you're going to make a second list. And you need a separate piece of paper or a separate space. You want to keep this list separate from the bucket list that you just did. And this exercise... If you're under 30, it's 3 years. If you're over 30, it's 3 to 5 years. Or if you're a planner, make it 3 to 5 years. And this list is how do you want to spend your life day to day for the next 3 years, the next 3 to 5 years? You know, how do you want to spend it? Do you want to spend it doing yoga on the beach? Do you want to spend it laughing, surrounded by good people? Do you want to spend it feeding homeless? Do you want to spend it, I'm looking at my dog right now, so, you know, with your dog and surrounded by animals? Do you want to spend it living in a tropical climate? Do you want to spend it, you know, like how do you want to spend your life? So the first one, bucket list, was about specific like milestones, like yes or no, did you do this? The next one is kind of fuzzier things, you know. Like mine is I want to live in peak mental and physical condition surrounded by a network of esteemed people who are world class at what they do as well as people of phenomenal character. That's one of mine. So how do you want to spend your life for the next 3 to 5 years? That's the next list. Write down all the things you can come up with. Pause the audio. So now that you've done that, you've taken 2 minutes, 3 minutes maybe to think about each list. We've got two lists now. We're going to do a third list, and this third list, again, separate list from the first two, new page, piece of paper, whatever. And this one, you have to convince yourself. You need to mentally, convince yourself that this is real. And what I mean is real is that you're in the doctor's office, and the doctors just come up to you, and they said, look, I don't know how to tell this to you, but you've got maybe 6 months left to live at most. Most people, 95% of people that have this barely make it to the 6 month mark. You are going to die, my friend. I don't know how else to tell you. And you need to let that sink in, and you need to like feel it vividly. And this third list is the list of things you write down that you need to do before you go. If you knew your time was up, that you would not see, it's December right now, if you knew you would not see this summer or the end of next summer, right? For those of us that have summer, you know, in the middle of the year. If you knew you weren't going to make it to Christmas next year, if you knew that you're going to be dead in 6 months or less, what do you need to do before you go? Make that list. 2 or 3 minutes. Pause the audio. Okay. So this is only going to benefit you if you actually do the exercise. If you're just listening and not taking the breaks, it's going to be 5%, 10% of the value. I mean, this stuff is... The beautiful thing is the answers come from you, not from me. And a lot of people are like, yeah, this is great. I'll do that later. And then they don't do it. Do it now, okay? It takes 10, 15 minutes. It could change your life, and it could change the trajectory of your life for the next 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. Don't be a douchebag. Don't be an idiot. Just do the exercise, okay? If I was there, I would slap you if you were like, I'm just going to listen, do it later. Do it now, okay? Tomorrow is the mystical land where 99.9% of human potential exists. Today, do it today. Three lists. Bucket list, how you want to spend your life and time for the next 3 to 5 years list, and what you need to do before you die in 6 months list. Write those three lists. Once you have those, you are now ready for the last two parts of this exercise. So the second final part of this is you now organize each list separately. So you take the first list, the bucket list, and you take all the bucket list items and you sort them from most important to least important. Put the most important at the top down to the least important of all the bucket list items you wrote down. And you give yourself a minute to do that. And then you take the second list, how you want to spend your life and time in the next 3 to 5 years. And you sort that list most important to least important. Top to bottom. Take a minute to do it. Then you take your third list, the things you need to do if you knew you were going to die in 6 months or less, and organize that list, most important to least important. Take 1 minute. So now the final part of this activity is you take the top three most important things from each list, and you take them and you make a brand new list and put all 9 items on there. So you'll have 3 items from your bucket list, 3 items from your 3 to 5 year list, and 3 items from the 6 months before you die list. You take the top 3 and you put them and make a new list with those 9 items. And now you need to make like a personal mission statement for your life. And it needs to be in the present tense. I am. What I mean by present tense is not I will do this. It is I, like this, I am living in peak mental and physical condition, surrounded by a network of esteemed peers who are world-class at what they do, as well as people of phenomenal character. I am, not I'm going to, or I'm building, or I'm developing, or one day I am, today, I am in my peak mental and physical condition, surrounded by a network of esteemed peers, people who are world-class at what they do, as well as people of phenomenal character. That's only part of mine. I have to redo mine. That's why I'm not... Actually, I probably have it. I could read it to you. Send me a message or email, and I'll send it to you. There you go. If you care that much, I'll send it to you. So you have to take those 9 items and then make a paragraph or two with them. Like that. I am blank. I do blank. I this blank. And now, you're going to take that, and you're either going to put it on a post-it note and put it in your bathroom mirror, or you're going to make a reminder on your phone that pops up every single morning, every single day of your life, and every single afternoon, after dinner, or whatever times are appropriate for you, but at least twice a day, and you're going to have this little personal mission statement pop up on your phone. Or again, you're going to put it in the mirror of your bathroom. So every time you go in your bathroom, you read it. You put it on the inside of your front door. Every time you leave your house, you know, on your dashboard of your car. So every time you get in and out of your car, you're looking at that, and this is now your North Star. This is what your life is all about. This is what your 2018 should be focused on. These are the most important priorities of your life. Not just business, not just making money, not just your health, but everything together. The things that matter to you the most. And so this, my friends, is my holiday gift to you, whether you're Muslim or Jewish or Buddhist or Shinto priest or Christian or Catholic. It's a holiday season and I want to give a gift to you. And so my gift today has been the top 10 lists from 2017 of things that I felt were most important lessons that I either lived or learned. And the next part is this 15-minute gift. Also there was the answering Aaron's question, because I think it applies to a lot of people. Like the problem that for him is he's not engaging with people. He's not out there. If he's talking to people and they kind of respond, you know, negatively, he might be like, oh, that guy's face kind of scrunched up when I said this. Maybe I'll approach it differently. Talk to 100 people. And that's the biggest problem. A lot of people don't know where to find it. Where do I find 100 people? Welcome to the biggest problem in any business. Where do I find the next 100 people? That is the most difficult and one of the most important questions for most businesses. Where am I going to get the next 100 people? That's why a lot of businesses pay to be in a mall. Because by being in a mall with like a grocery store, an anchor store in there, it's going to keep bring people back again and again and again. You know, those people are just going to keep walking by. That's why I pay high prices to be somewhere like that. But in his business, that doesn't work. He can't be in a mall for... Well, maybe he could. But this is my gift for you. So today, I tried to give you 3 things that I thought would really help you be successful in 2018. go from wherever you are to wherever you want to go. So thank you again for listening. It's an honor and a pleasure. This podcast is kind of part legacy, part hobby, part, I don't know, something that creates nurture material to post on social media and stuff. But it really just started out because I felt like I struggled. I remember I spent easily $70,000 or more, $100,000 on coaching and courses and books and training because I didn't go to university and I felt like I had to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. I had to invest heavily in my education. And I feel like a lot of the books that I read, I'm like, man, that could have been one chapter. That book was 300 pages, you know, and 250 of those pages was fluff and filler. You know, or I did a course where I'm like, man, that 10 hours could have been a 30-minute video. So my goal is to just put out the best stuff I can out there for you. And hopefully, they say, you know, conversations between two or three people are easier and have better retention than just one person preaching and talking. But right now, I don't have an editor. And out of respect for the guests, I want to make sure that any audio abnormal anomalies, you know, and that is just professional when I put it out there because it represents them. But this is just me, and you are my listener. And I may not know you, but I really appreciate you knowing me, and I'm really grateful that what I'm doing can have value for you in your life, whether we ever meet, whether I ever get to know it or not. I just really appreciate, you know, the goodness people have done for me. And so this is, you know, I might not be 100% altruistic because I hope some way it comes back to me doing this good. But I'm really just trying to put this out there in the world. So thank you for listening. Thank you for helping make 2017 an amazing year, one I'll never forget. Thank you for writing in. Thank you for following me. Thank you for your support. Thank you for being a listener. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to help make you one of the 200 multimillionaires that I helped create. And I just want nothing but the best for you and your family and loved ones. As long as you're not about hurting other people. There's already so much pain and suffering in the world. I've got very low tolerance for people that are in anything other than something that's going to help others. So thank you again. I hope, again, you have an amazing new year. And I look forward to sharing 2018, 2019, 2020, and beyond with you. So once again, this is Daryl Urbanski signing out. I appreciate you. And if you didn't take notes, if you didn't go through those exercises, you may want to listen to this interview again. But otherwise, I will see you next time.